Royal Montreal once again plays host to the President's Cup as the biennial competition gets underway September the 26th to the 29th. We are just moments away from learning who will complete the teams for Jim Furyk and Mike Weir. A couple of major champs. Good Tuesday to you. This is Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch of Golf Week magazine. I love days like today. Dreams fulfilled, hearts broken, and maybe a little bit of second guessing.
Indeed. Well, I'm ineligible, obviously, as a European, but I still hold out hope for you that Jim Furyk might give you the call at some point before we hear from Jim a little bit later in the show. Yeah. But it is one of those great days. I mean, it's team competition, team golf is always something that gets the fans' heckles up one way or the other. So I'm curious to see who's riding into battle today.
How about the storyline, though? American dominance. 9 in a row. 12-1-1. How much is that going to be kind of just beneath the surface of these captains' picks today?
I don't think it's beneath the surface at all. It's probably quite, on the surface, quite visible. It is an ongoing narrative about the President's Cup. And, you know, Trevor Immelman made his case quite forcefully when he was the captain last time around that it's more competitive than perhaps the results give credit to. And Mike Weir certainly voiced the same sentiments when we've heard from Mike on this show as well. We're going to dictate today, I suppose, what the result of this is going to be this time around, who Mike Weir chooses to put his faith in.
I'm fascinated by the narrative of a Masters champ in Mike Weir, who's from Canada, who beat Tiger Woods in singles in 2007, and now is the captain of this team on native soil, and the potential just for raucous crowds and just a scene like we haven't seen in some time in this competition in this manner.
Can you imagine if the crowd is what it was like when Nick Taylor won the Canadian Open in Toronto last year? I mean, that was one of the best Sundays that we saw on the PGA Tour all year, just in terms of crowd engagement. But to be devil's advocate, I would point out that Royal Montreal is a few miles closer to Jim Furyk's hometown of Westchester, Pennsylvania, than it is Sarnia, Ontario, where Mike Weir grew up.
It is the oldest golf club in North America. Let's take a look at the six automatic qualifiers for the United States. Four major champs, including the world number one and newly minted FedEx Cup champion in Scottie Scheffler, a two-time major champ in Xander Schauffele, a rookie to professional international competition in Sahith Theegala, the U.S. on a streak of 9 straight wins in this event. And how about the international squad looking to change the narrative once and for all? Win for the first time since 1998. All six of these men have played in the President's Cup before, and it is headlined by a trio of major champs in Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott, and Jason Day, the latter two former number one players in the world. And the time is now. The International President's Cup captain, Mike Weir, joins us now from Royal Montreal. Mike, we appreciate your time on this important day. The floor is yours. Who are your six captain's picks for the President's Cup at Royal Montreal?
Hey, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Super excited to announce my picks. I guess I'll let's start it off with the Canadians. You know, no surprise, Corey Connors. You know, Corey's had such a great year this year. Super happy to have him back on this year's squad. We have Taylor Pendrith, who's had a wonderful summer. He was there in 2022, and he's back. And great to have him. And the last Canadian is Mackenzie Hughes. We have Mackenzie Hughes, who's had a solid year. We're super excited for his first time to be on the team. We have Christiane Bezuidenhout from South Africa, who's been very solid all year. We're very excited to have him as second President's Cup. We have a rookie, Minwoo Lee, who's joining us for the first time, going to bring quite a bit of excitement to our team. And then we have another veteran in Siwoo Kim. So that rounds out our top six.
And there you have it. Let's take a look at this team as a whole. As Mike mentioned, three Canadians selected in Connors, Hughes, and Pendrith. Some thought there could be as many as 5. No Nick Taylor and no Adam Hadwin, a pair of 36-year-old Canadians who were protagonists, of course, for different reasons at that 2023 RBC Canadian Open, as Eamon mentioned, won by Taylor. We'll get to the omissions in a moment. I want to start with who is on the team. Mike, fascinating. You have basically a President's Cup rookie in Mackenzie Hughes. Hasn't played that well of late, but he is a sublime putter. Why is Mac additive to your squad?
He has played, in my opinion, he's played quite solidly this summer and recently. You know, he unfortunately didn't get in, just missed out on those last couple playoff events, but he was playing quite solidly up until that point and just missed out. If you look at overall stats, you know, he's an elite short game guy. And we know these things come down to a lot of short game. And I just believe he has what it takes inside in these kind of matches and match play. He has a lot of guts. He's very passionate about being on this team. And all of us captains, when we looked at, you know, a number of things that we look at to help make our picks, you know, my also gut feeling was high on Mac, as along with our other guys. So that was a choice there.
Mike, another of the Canadians, Corey Connors, who was pretty high up on the points list, just missed out on the automatic qualifying. His three top tens in his last 10 starts on tour. Also played well at home. He was sixth in the Canadian Open this year, but he was 0-4 at the last President's Cup team as a rookie. Are you confident that the experience he gained then is going to make the difference this time around?
I am confident. You know, I think he's much more well-rounded player, I should say. Corey's got more experience that first time. You know, it wasn't his best experience, that first President's Cup for him. But, you know, as Ernie Els was talking about last night, he went 0-5 one time in a President's Cup, one of our best all-time players. So it can happen. You can have a bad week. That's just golf. But doesn't shake our confidence, Corey. We believe he's going to be a big part of this team, big part of trying to get this cup back to the internationals.
Mike, similarly, Taylor Pendrith also went 0-4. At Quail Hollow, but he also broke through for his first PGA Tour win this season. What drew you to Taylor Pendrith?
Yeah, I think all of that. I mean, I think he's, you know, getting his first win, playing so consistently, playing his way into the Tour Championship. You know, his putting numbers are so much better than what they've been. They're all around ball striking, obviously a powerful guy. He brought some matches in Charlotte right down to the last hole. And the U.S. guys, to their credit, did some great things, made some birdies on the last hole to deny him getting a half a point or a point. So he played quite well, and that happens sometimes in these team events where you can play quite well and not get get a result. So I think he played pretty well in Charlotte. So I think this time, again, he knows what to expect. And I think the crowd and the Canadian fans will even bring him up even more. So I think he'll be really ready.
The guy you've chosen with the most experience, Mike, is Siwoo Kim, who will be making his third President's Cup appearance. It might come as a surprise to some folks. He's played a lot of golf this year. He's played 23 events. Mm-hmm. He's made the cut 21 times, and he was just tied fifth at the BMW Championship. But that was actually his first high finish since the Players. He hasn't been in great form. What was the decisive factor in picking Siwoo?
Well, I think we just know the makeup of Siwoo. We know what's inside with him. He's a great partner. You know, you start looking at a number of different things, partners with the top six that were automatics and great matchups. That's one factor. He brings a lot of passion to our team. The term dog is what guys use when they talk about Siwoo. He's a real gamer. He's got a lot of passion. And, you know, recently has gone back to, you know, maybe a little bit more comfortable long putter. I think that was maybe evident in this last top finish that he had there and finishing tied for fifth. His putting numbers were a lot better, and he's gone back to that. And I think that was maybe the reason why all year it's been very solid, where he's been finishing 20th and, you know, somewhere in the teens in a lot of events. And now that he's got this familiar putter back, I think good things ahead for him.
How about the Aussie Minwoo Lee? We saw him perform on the big stage last year, seemed to warm to it. At the Players Championship, at the U.S. Open, he has a big personality. How do you see Minwoo Lee fitting in?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he fits in great. You know, we've been practicing with Minwoo for a couple of days. He fits in great with the guys. He's a great team person. Brings great energy, just like Tom Kim did in Charlotte. And you know, powerful young player. You know, hits it a long way. I think the fans are going to love to watch Minwoo. And he's a great partner for a lot of our guys, so he fits in really nicely with our team.
He's certainly going to engage the younger audience, as he does on pretty much every platform out there, Mike. Christian Bezuidenhout is the last of your six picks. South African, he's two-time Olympian, and he actually just made it all the way to the Tour Championship for the first time, which is usually a sign of fairly steady golf through the course of the season. What made you reach for Christian, who was, I believe, 10th in your standings?
Yeah, I believe, like you said, that steadiness. He's had a very good year this year. Christian again, another guy that's great in the team room with our guy. It's another factor that's all the guys really love being around him. Been very impressed with Christian. He's, you know, his stats this year, he's picked up quite a bit of a distance in his driver. He hits the ball very solidly, and then he's an elite short game guy. So, you know, it was a, you know, he was one that was a pretty easy choice because of his consistent play and the skill set he brings.
Mike, the thought in some circles would be that you would stack this team with Canadians, that Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin would be perhaps locks. But, of course, Nick won in Phoenix, no top 10s since then, no top 20s for Adam since Memorial. But how difficult were those decisions not to have two 36-year-old veteran Canadians in Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin?
Extremely difficult. I can't tell you how tough those calls were to those guys. I respect those guys. I love those guys. And they're like brothers, you know, they're Canadians. And the toughest part of being a captain was that, with those calls. So I have a lot of respect for them and even have more respect for them now, the way they handled it. So that's what I'll say about that.
Mike, do you think the Canadian guys are under a little bit of extra pressure when you get there? Not just the fact that every captain's pick tends to be under a little bit more scrutiny to justify your vote of confidence in them, but playing under a home crowd as well, under that kind of scrutiny. Do you feel as though there's a little extra weight on those guys?
I think, you know, I felt that, you know, playing back in 2007, that there's a little extra pressure. I mean, I look at my position. I was picked by Gary Player to play here in 2007, so I had a little extra motivation to prove him right, so to speak, and prove that I deserved the pick. But once you get under competition and you get playing, you get going out there, it, at least for me, it became all business, and I was very motivated by the crowd, and I think that's what our guys are feeling. They're excited to play in front of their home fans. They're excited when they play in the Canadian Open, and I think playing in this competition, and we have such great camaraderie amongst our group. The guys are a really close-knit group right now. So I think they're really looking forward to that opportunity to play in front of their home fans in a team event like this, and can't wait to see how they perform.
Mike, I can't imagine the difficulty of some of those phone calls. What was it like trying to navigate the whole Canadian factor? You know, did you evaluate them just as players or kind of weighing the maple leaf, you know, your patriotism and nationalism that you hope you have during that week?
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. You know, like I said, if I can use that analogy again, I would say in 2007, it wasn't my best year. I wasn't playing particularly well. But when you get at home and you get motivated and you get in front of your home fans, I was able to elevate my game to a high level that week. And so that was a factor of thinking about guys like Adam and Nick and all the Canadian guys of, like, what's that going to be like? Can they bring their game? And it certainly was a factor, and I was certainly thinking about that for sure. There's many factors going into decisions. That was definitely one of them, Damon.
To what extent are you using data and analytics in piecing together your team, Mike? Because obviously it's become much more of a trend in terms of team captaincies over recent years to match certain skill sets where you think you might have a weakness elsewhere. And I noticed, I mean, three of the guys you have on the team are particularly strong on the greens, but there are also a few of your captain's picks who rank well outside the top 100, for instance, in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour. So how did you arrive at the mix that you did from a data perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a factor. Using the data, it really helps, you know, form your decisions. It's not everything, but it definitely helps form those decisions, helps you look at pairings, where players might match up well in foursomes and four ball, and there could be different partners there. So there's a lot of things to take a look at. So I think data is so important. You can start looking at the golf course, the types of golf courses, and look at maybe some comparatives and saying, you know, this type of golf course and what they played on tour that might be similar to Royal Montreal and how they perform. So there's many things you can kind of take a look at that way through data. And yeah, you want your strengths. You want well-rounded players. You want good putters. You want, you know, all types of different strengths for the guys for the golf course. So I think it helps all of, not only myself, all the other captains to just formulate those decisions and, you know, do the best job we can to make those picks.
Well, there's Mike, there's data, Mike, but there's also old-fashioned motivation. You know, the great NFL coach Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are, and the internationals are 1-1-12 throughout the life of this competition. Do you use that as motivation at all, or is that unhelpful for what you're trying to accomplish in a few weeks' time?
I think it's like an unspoken thing that the guys just know. You know, the guys are, you know, you get sick of losing. And you think someone like Adam Scott, who's been, this is his 11th cup, you know, very motivated. He's having a great summer. He's playing great. So someone like that, they know the history and they've been part of that history for a long time and they want to change that narrative. The young guys are just motivated to get in there and win and be part of a winning team. So it's not really something that we talk about or has to be said. It's more the guys are excited to be part of a team. They like each other. They like what we're doing and they're buying into what we're doing. And so that's very exciting for me.
Mike, your predecessors as the international captain have often said how it can be tricky to get something for the players to coalesce around. It's, you know, it's easy for the Europeans to gather around their flag, mm-hmm. but you're talking about a very disparate group of 12 people here, and there's often a tendency to pick guys from the home country mm-hmm. to try to get that fan interest as well. In particular, with Connors and Penrith yeah. being 0-8 between them in their last President's Cup, you're probably going to face criticism that you're putting patriotism over performance. What would your answer to that be?
Well, I think their performances has earned them spots on the team. And, I mean, all of us guys that have played the game a long time, you know you have these stretches, and that was their first times playing in Charlotte, and it didn't go their way. Doesn't mean anything 2 years later in my mind. So I think, you know, three Canadians on the team is the most we've ever had, which is fantastic. It's the trend in Canadian golf. We have a lot better players and a deeper core of players across Canada to choose from compared to maybe my era where there wasn't as many. So that just shows the state of Canadian golf and how strong it is. To your guys' question earlier in your point that there could have been possibly 4 or 5, that's a very true fact, and that's exciting for Canadian golf. But I think the picks are warranted and they deserve it. They play great golf.
Mike, when you look at the United States team, it's a juggernaut. Scotty, Xander, the official World Golf Ranking will show 5 players in the top 9 that are on this team so far. How do you beat them?
Yeah, no doubt. They're a strong bunch. And, you know, golf's golf. And no one thought I'd, you know, match up against Tiger very well when I played him here years ago, right? I mean, just the fact. But, you know, when you have heart and you believe in yourself, and our guys believe that we can win. And match play's different. It's a whole completely different animal. So I believe in these guys. I totally believe in that they're going to perform really well. And I think we have a great chance to bring the cup back to our side. So excited to see what happens in a few weeks.
As the host captain, Mike, you have a significant voice, obviously, in the format and the ordering of the format between foursomes and four balls. What have you opted for and why?
Yeah, we're starting with, four ball on Thursday. And it's just that's what we're doing. The tour, I think they want to announce that pretty soon. So the stats have shown that's kind of favorable for our team. And we feel like we have some strong pairings there. And that's what we're starting with.
Mike, are there things that you can do to the golf course, kind of bend it more toward your team's strengths? How aggressive will you be in that realm, or how laissez-faire will you be in that regard?
Well, I'm not laissez-faire about it. You know, we've been doing some things around the golf course to make sure or try to find some little advantages. And we're out here now at Royal Montreal. The course looks in great condition. And you know, we're trying to do a few things to find those ledges to put them in our advantage, hopefully.
Well, Mike, we're 3 weeks away from the President's Cup. One thing that became very apparent in Rome last year at the Ryder Cup was the gap between the end of the PGA Tour playoffs and almost a month to the President's Cup. And a lot of guys did not compete at all in that window. Do you have any sense of whether or not any of your team will compete anywhere between now and the President's Cup to try to maintain some kind of competitive sharpness?
Yeah, I think some of our guys are going to play. I'm not sure how many guys are playing Napa, and there's the BMW tournament over on the DP World Tour the week before at Wentworth. So some of our guys are going to play, but look, they're they've had big years. It's not as long as a gap as that last Ryder Cup, but it's 3 weeks in between, like you said. And we're confident that guys know what they need to do to stay sharp, whether that's playing, working with their coaches, working on things that they know they need for Royal Montreal. Myself and the other captains are confident that the guys know what to work on and know what to do, and they'll be ready either if they're playing or just working on their game at home with their coaches.
Mike, can't imagine what this role means to you. Thanks so much for your time. I know the work continues. We'll see you in a few weeks in Montreal.
Damon, thanks. Yeah, it means the world, actually, to be up here as captain, and appreciate you guys having me on.
Taylor Pendrith joins us now from Royal Montreal. Taylor, congratulations on the pick. What was the anticipation like while you were waiting for that call?
Hey, yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, obviously, it was a huge goal of mine at the beginning of the year to get back on this team, and it being in Canada and Mike being the captain, it was extra motivation for me. But yeah, I was really hoping for a call from Wiersey, and called me last week, and it was amazing news, and I'm super excited to be a part of the team again and to do it here in Canada. It's going to be very exciting.
And Taylor, you played so well this season, got your first win, finished the season strong. How did you get to the point where it wasn't so all-consuming, this goal to make the team, that it hampered your play as opposed to being a positive?
Yeah, like I said, it was a huge goal of mine at the beginning of the year, but you know, I have played some very solid golf all year, and it's definitely been on my mind most of the season. And after I got my win and played some really solid golf after that, it was, I guess, became more of a realistic thing for me. And at the end of the year, I just wanted to play well, and it's been the best year of my career so far. And just kind of kept telling myself to keep doing the right things and hopefully be in the conversation towards the end of the year. And had a pretty good week last week at East Lake, and so it's been a crazy year for me. It's been, you know, obviously super good, and it's gonna top it off at the end of the year with this event, and couldn't be more excited to do it and do it in front of the home crowd.
Speaking of that home crowd, Taylor, you're one of three Canadians who's going to be trying to engage that crowd on your side during the course of these matches. Do you feel a little bit of extra pressure, not just the fact that it's the home crowd that you're playing in front of, but you have gotten the captain's pick? Do you feel as though you need to justify Mike Weir's faith in you?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, we get to play the Canadian Open once a year, play in front of the Canadian fans once a year, and it's always an awesome week, and it's, you know, definitely a little bit of added pressure. But you know, I think the 12 guys on this team are super pumped to be here in Canada, and they're gonna feel like Canadians for the week. The Canadian fans always come out super hard. They cheer for you hard and loud, so it's gonna be I think a really good atmosphere here. The golf course is awesome, set up good for spectating, and so hopefully hear some big loud roars. But yeah, Mike being the captain, and there's three Canadians here, we all want to do well for him and for the team and for the country. So it's going to be a big week, and yeah, super, super excited, and really looking forward to a few weeks' time.
How about the atmosphere right now, Taylor? The team bonding, 11 of the 12 members of the team went to Royal Montreal post a tour championship, pinochle, ping pong, dinners. What have you guys been up to the last couple days?
Yeah, we played the golf course a couple times and went to two dinners. It's been really good. Yeah, it's been really good to get everybody together, you know, before the event and get to play with some potential pairings and get to know the guys a little bit better and just kind of hang out and get familiar with each other. it's been really good. The golf course is awesome. The weather's been great, and I think we got some good vibes going. So we're all leaving today, and we'll see each other in a few weeks.
You haven't been outside the top 25 in your last five starts on tour, Taylor. Did you feel as though heading those couple of weeks into the playoffs and then the playoffs, did that feel like an audition for Mike Weir for you?
Yeah, a little bit for sure. You know, I was an alternate for the Open Championship. I wasn't sure if I was going to get in, and then did not get in and went to the Barracuda, an alternate field event, and played well there. And, you know, I really wanted to play that week, wherever it was, and just to show them that I'm eager to play and play well and deserve or earn my spot on the team. So I backed that up with another solid finish in Minnesota the week after and have been playing really solid golf the last, I guess, second half of the year. So I guess a little bit of an audition. You know, I have been playing good, you know, for the last several months and had some solid finishes. And I knew he has been noticing that, but obviously needed a really strong finish to the year. It was a really difficult team to make. A lot of the international boys have had great seasons. So to finish it off well and play pretty solid in the last three playoff events and obviously get a call from Mike was thrilling and, yeah, super excited.
Taylor, on that note, what does Mike Weir, Masters champ, Canadian golf legend, embody and mean to a young man who grew up in Richmond Hill, Ontario, like yourself?
Yeah, he's a legend. You know, when he won the Masters, I was just kind of getting into golf. One of my idols, you know, throughout my career growing up, and to get to know him over the past few years and spend more time with him and kind of lean on him when need be has been amazing. And now, you know, when he was announced captain and knowing this was going to be in Canada, like I said, it was a huge goal of mine to make this team, do whatever I can to be on this team because he's a legend here and he obviously has history himself here at this golf course back in 07. So I think it's going to be a really cool week for everybody and for Mike and the Canadian players on this team are super pumped and want to do him proud.
Taylor, can't imagine the pride you must be feeling. Congratulations on making the team. We'll see you in a few weeks in Montreal.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Minwoo, congratulations on making this team. You have some team experience in the sense that you've actually played the Olympics, a pretty big team for Australia. It's your first kind of golf professional team, a core group of 12 guys. What's the experience going to be like? What are you most looking forward to for that experience?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's an amazing time and I'm very privileged to be on the team. I got a lot of friends on the team, which is amazing, and yeah, can't wait to get going. Olympics was amazing, obviously playing with Jason Day and representing Australia, that was very special, and yeah, I can't wait for a few weeks' time.
Minwoo, I was reading some of your comments during the Olympic Games. Did that deepen your desire to be a part of this team, representing your country, being a part of something bigger than yourself?
Yeah, I think it sparked a little bit something in my game. I was pretty embarrassed after the first round. I was, you know, coming last, shot five over. So, you know, dug really deep to make sure I, you know, didn't play worse or play bad. And it was nice to just carry that on. And it's, you know, golf is, you know, just more than golf. It's like a lot more of the mindset and how you approach each day. And I think that was a big part of it too. So I'm really thankful to be on that team. And yeah, I think you figure out a couple things when you're on teams like this where you have to represent more than just yourself. So, you know, you have to dig deep and, you know, when it's your time to shine, you have to play well.
Do you have any sense of who you're going to play with? Minwoo, should we expect to see you reunite with Jason Day on this team?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I have pretty full confidence in this team. There's a lot of great players and, you know, a lot of straight players too, which, you know, I'm a long bomber, but I, you know, I tend to miss some fairways now and then. So it's nice to, you know, have a team that's very straight and hit fairways and, you know, unbelievable approach players. So obviously the Australians are going to be... will be amazing to play with, Adam and Jason, and I've played with them a lot in practice rounds and tournaments, so just to be around them, you know, it's cool. We have a scouting trip that we're on right now, and it's amazing to learn off them a little bit, and yeah, just getting that sense of, you know, foursome and four-ball team aspect. So it's very cool to be around them and learn from them, and they have a lot of experience in these, so really, everyone in the team. I would love to play with the Australians, obviously, and you know, I have a good bond with the Koreans as well, and Canadians obviously have a good bond within themselves, and hopefully we get the crowd with us too.
A lot of great bonds, no doubt, and through no fault of your own, Minwoo, this team has lost 9 events in a row. You weren't around for any of them, I know that, but do you feel a certain pressure to inject some new life, new blood, new storylines into the President's Cup?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the American side is, you know, unbelievably good. They're really good. And I don't know how the international teams, you know, feel every year, but I feel like, you know, if we play our best golf, I think we can compete. And, yeah, again, I have a lot of confidence in these guys. They've shown, you know, time and now and then, you know, they belong. So, you know, obviously I can't do what, you know, I can't control what other guys do. But, yeah, hopefully I come out and bring some flair and hit some long drives and make some putts and get some points on the board. But yeah, it's going to be tough, of course, but I'm really excited. And yeah, I'll bring a bit of youth to the team.
There's also the issue of playing someone else's drives or having someone else make a putt from your approach shots, Minwoo. When's the last time you actually played alternate shot format?
Actually today, you know, it was nice to, nice to play some from the fairway. It was a bit further back than usual, but, no, it was nice to obviously have a partner that is very strong. I won't say who I play with, but, he's good in every aspect of the game. So it gives me confidence. Doesn't matter where I hit it, really. And, you know, just having that belief of, you know, a teammate that can, you know, get you out of trouble or put you in a really good position, putts on, you know, birdie putts on tough holes, it's a massive difference. I mean, I haven't played too much of this format, but really excited. I love being in a team environment and yeah, have a lot of faith in our team.
How about as a junior, you know, growing up, how would you describe your match play history, if at all, matches with your sister Minji, anything that was maybe different from stroke play?
Yeah, you know, because I'm such an aggressive player and I love making birdies, I think I've always loved match play. I've always loved playing match play. I won the US Junior in Tennessee in 16, and obviously that was a very long time ago. But I just love, you know, even being an amateur in Australia, we have so many match play tournaments and yeah, there's something about it. You know, obviously one hole matters in this situation, but, you know, you could make a 10 and somehow still win. You probably won't, but, you know, you can have a high score and move on to the next and, you know, freshen up. So it's not like stroke play. If you make a 10, you're probably out of the tournament. So, you know, it's only one hole. And again, lots of faith in my partners. And yeah, hopefully we can turn it around if something like that happens. But yeah, I just like it how it's quick. You know, you can just kind of forget about the hole and move on. So, yeah, being an aggressive player, I really love match play.
You obviously have the bonds with the Australian guys on the team, Adam, Scott. and Jason Day. How well do you know the rest of the team, Minwoo? Because it can't necessarily be all that easy to find a bonding mechanism on an international team. It's got to be a little easier, for example, for the Europeans and the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I think just being on the international side, I think we learn from a young age that we have to, you know, bond with other people, not just from your country. Obviously, you know, Jason and Adam's a very good friend of mine, and you know, they put me under their wing and helped me a lot. I've looked up to them, and now I'm in the same team as them, so it's amazing. And I speak a little bit of Korean, so I think, you know, I have some laugh with the Korean boys. I'm a little slow sometimes understanding what they say, but you know, I say things now and then that make them laugh, so I can speak a bit of Korean. The Canadians are very nice people, so they, you know, it's easy to, you know, be friends with them. And and the South Africans, I mean, Christian Bez, I played with him plenty of times over the last couple of years, and you know, my partner and family's good friends with his partner as well. So I feel like we're very good friends. I'm sure the Americans are very good friends too, but just you know, knowing from a young age that you have to, you know, bond with other countries and deal with that, it's nice to have people on the team that are very friendly and very open to many things, and you know, they've got your back when you need it.
You also speak social media. I mean, your Instagram page is absolutely lit. You do the YouTube thing. You've been with the good, good guys. You've worn the chef hat. Will you be allowed to be yourself, to be a spark, some youth, and let your personality shine in a team format?
Of course. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why I'm here. Obviously, the golf is there, but I think just a lot of the, I guess, internet socials that can bring to the team. I we're in an day and age where social media is massive, and I've got a lot of Americans on my social media too. So you know, they could support me now and then too. I know they might not be supporting me the week that we play, but you know, I still try to be myself and be honest. I'm not going to be a serious player all of a sudden. I'm obviously got to back up. We're on a very pressured situation here when we're on the golf course, so we need to perform, which is the main part. It doesn't matter what you do on and off the course, but you got to perform. And I play my best when I've got a crowd, and I kind of spur them on and try to make some birdies. So I think it's going to be a big deal. I'm glad my first President's Cup's in home territory, and I hope it's a good one. It's going to be a fantastic week, and I can't wait to get started.
Well, you're a lot of fun, but I know you want to take care of business in a few weeks' time at Royal Montreal. Minwoo, thanks for the time and best of luck. We'll see you soon.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
U.S. President's Cup captain Jim Furyk joins us now from PGA Tour Global Headquarters in Ponte Vedra Beach. It's great to see you. The floor is yours, Jim. Who are your six captain's picks for Royal Montreal?
I appreciate it, Damon. I'm going to start out with Sam Burns, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley, Max Homa, Brian Harman, and Tony Finau.
Jim Furyk, always straight and to the point. Let's take a look at the entire team.
That's what
and
you asked.
And there he is. That was the question. It doesn't. Look at this, folks. Now, I had to do a double take. I'm taking a closer look. No Justin Thomas on this squad, but you see Russell Henley off that 62 in Atlanta will make his President's Cup debut. And Jim, it looks like went down the list from 7 through 12 on the President's Cup standings. We'll get to the omissions in a little bit, Jim. How about Keegan Bradley, who's going to be very busy over the next couple of years? What made you want him inside the ropes, not just being a vice captain?
Yeah, you look at Keegan Bradley. I mean, his year back against the wall, 50th after Memphis, after the FedEx. Again, back against the wall, goes to the BMW, gets a win, leads wire to wire. I think, you know, getting it done when you have to is a big thing. And so a guy that you know, grinded it out and came up in big moments here at the end of the season. That's what you want in your President's Cup team.
Jim, a lot of folks might look at Max Homa as being a surprising pick here. You know, in his last half dozen starts, tied 33rd of the BMW was his best finish. Is Max evidence of the intangibles that a captain looks for in a team room, not just in terms of popularity among his peers, but the ability to kind of gin up the fan interest as well?
Yeah, I don't think it's really a popularity thing. I think you look at the last two years, our best record in Charlotte in the President's Cup, our best record last year in Rome on team events. I think he's a great teammate. I think he plays well in partnerships. And it's really his personality. So I don't think popularity is what I'd say. He's kind of the glue. He's an emotional leader, both on and off the golf course, and I think just a valuable member of this team.
So emotional leader in Max. How about Russell Henley, Georgia Bulldog, strong, silent type. Final round 62 in Atlanta. Did that put him over the top?
Yeah, a way to stamp an exclamation point on a season and kind of go out on a high note, but... Russ, he's just solid. He's been really solid over the last 2 years, hits the ball very accurately, good putter, just a grinder, a tough guy that's never going to give up. And I think his game fits Royal Montreal to a tee. I think he's going to be a huge asset.
The least surprising guy that you've picked is probably Sam Burns, Jim. He played so well in all of the playoff events, tied 12th, was actually his worst finish in those three events. Won five times on the tour, played a President's Cup. He also won the WGC match play back when that existed. How much does stuff like that, past record in match play performance, factor in as much as current form for you?
I think they're both important. I think, you know, current form is important as well. But I really like Max, you know, coming down the stretch. He was about 14th, I think, in our points starting into the playoffs. And as you mentioned, three really good finishes in a row, you know, again, finished off the season well. So I think in him, you've got a guy that's got both, right? Sammy's got a great match play record, winning a WGC event, and a guy in present form right now. So both important factors. He checks the box in both of them.
How about Tony Finau? Second in strokes gained approach, winning record in the President's Cup, a glue guy that you can kind of plug anywhere. What makes Tony so attractive this year?
Yeah. You know, you're taking all my good points there, for goodness sakes. But I think solid ball striker. Royal Montreal is a ball striker's golf course. Tony's got all that. What I was so impressed with, he played with me, played for me in 2018 in Paris, and just all the intangibles, just understands team sports, understands the chemistry of a locker room, of a team room. Definitely never needed to be coached up. I mean, by the time Tony got done with the interview, we all as captains looked at each other and said, wow, I wish I could do one that well. I mean, he really kind of understood the team aspect of things, and just a pleasure to have on the team. I love his game and, you know, huge upside.
The last of your six picks, Jim, Brian Harman. The competitors don't come much flintier than Brian Harman out there. And he's a guy who's proven that he can win big titles, big moments, even when maybe the crowd isn't necessarily cheering for him as loudly as anybody else.
Well, again, I think you got a real straight hitter, a real good putter. And as you said, he's feisty. He's tough, determined. When I go back to his British Open win and you look at kind of getting off the bad starts, both on Saturday and Sunday, I mean, leading an Open Championship, you're thinking to yourself, just let me get off to a good start and let's roll with it. And both times he kind of stumbled out of the gates, yet was able to really right the ship, get things moving in the right direction, and go on to kind of dominate and win that Open Championship. So those are the tough kind of things that you like to see in a player, and especially in team matches or in international matches such as these.
Jim, I was surprised to see that Justin Thomas was not a part of this team. 10-3-2 in the President's Cup, 17-7-4 between the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. Been on the last three President's Cup teams, last three Ryder Cup teams, made his way to Atlanta. Why is Justin Thomas not a member of your team?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I mean, there's about 16 or 18 guys that I'd love to have on this team. It really kind of... You know, at the end of the day, I love JT. I probably know him as well or better than any of the members of my team. Again, great record. Feisty, emotional leader. Just kind of trying to put the puzzle pieces together and find the right 12 to take to Montreal. And, again, that tough. He's a great team room guy. And He's going to play on a ton of these teams in the future as well, and one day be a captain and be a great one. So tough omission, but I had to take the 12 guys I saw fit.
Jim, you did go 7 through 12 in your captain's picks. Does that leave a suggestion that you were playing it safe in any respect, that these were the guys who came closest to earning their place there by rights, and that to go beyond that 12, you're starting to get into trickier conversations?
It worked out that way. I'm not sure. Playing it safe probably wasn't the way I'd say it. If you look at, if you look at our points list, it was top 12, and it was also pointed out to me, if you looked at the world rankings, it was the top 12, and that definitely wasn't actually part of the process for me. It was really, again, trying to fit the puzzle pieces together. What do we have on our team now? What is the golf course demanding and asking for? Looking at some pairings and folks that I thought would play really well together, and put 4 and 5 of the best pairs we could on the golf course. Surely we're fortunate. There's a lot of depth on the American side. There's a lot of guys out there that we're deserving, use that word, that I think we're deserving of a spot on this team. The tough part is there's only 12 that fit. So, definitely I would love, if I could go back and bring 16 guys to this event, I surely would.
Yeah, as you say, there's a pretty deep bench on the American side. Those are always difficult conversations to have with guys who are deserving and worthy, who don't quite make it over the finish line. You've been in that position before as a Ryder Cup captain. What was the toughest call that you had to make this time around?
No, they're all tough. A lot of these guys, I think the closer you are to the folks personally, emotionally, friends of yours, makes it tougher. But, man, I'll make the point. I've been on a good side and a bad side of those calls as a player, where a captain called me to invite me to be on the team, also to tell me that I wasn't going to make the team. It's way harder on the player than it is the captain. So don't, I didn't like making the calls, but I also know how that guy feels on the other side, receiving a call that's not a good one, and those are the folks I feel bad for.
Jim, you know what it's like to be a captain, a vice captain, a player. How will you divide the duties for Keegan Bradley? Is he going to be exempt from a handful of meetings? What's going to happen? Will he have a walkie-talkie in his back pocket while he's playing? How do you make it work?
Now, I've talked to Keegan. We're going to pretty much relieve him of most of his duties, or almost all of his duties, as the assistant captain. It's not fair to him trying to prepare as a player, trying to get ready, but then also trying to sit in on me. We do so much while the players are practicing, while they're on the golf course at times, and in those discussions, it's just not fair. So he earned it. He played his way onto this team, and we're going to end up filling in that spot with another assistant captain.
Do you have any idea who that assistant captain would be yet, Jim, that you'd care to make some news here today?
I do have a pretty good idea, but I don't care to make any news today, if that's okay.
Jim, all right, we'll wait till you break that news up some point down the road. I got some news for you,
Thank
Jim,
you.
But you may know this already. You got a deep, deep team, but your horses are tired. I was in Memphis. Guys are worn out. How much do you have to be aware of the long season that was, and that these guys come to Montreal fresh, fired up, and ready to go?
I think for me as a player, I think for any player, it was always about being fresh but sharp. And so last year we had a much, much longer time leading into the Ryder Cup. Guys kind of came in, let's be honest, we came in a little rusty, and it showed those first couple days. We tried to make a good push at the end, but it was, too little too late. My leaders this year, they're, hey, it's a long season. And I was always worn out after a tour championship. But one by one, I had dinner with a bunch of our leaders in Memphis, top 5 or 6 guys, and they just talked about being ready. They wanted to be sharp. They wanted to come in fresh. And so now they've got some time, and they've got 3 weeks away to kind of recharge, get the batteries going. But, they want to come in knowing that they're tired. I kind of wanted to wait for a trip possibly to Montreal. My leaders all kind of one by one said, you know what, let's go in there early. Let's show up in Montreal early. Let's get a chance to see a little bit of that wonderful city, but also get a chance to see that golf course a number of times before we play the event. And so it's kind of a captain's dream, right? When your players step up, they take control and they tell the team, hey, we're going in early and we're going to be prepared. That's all you can hope for.
When should we expect to see that kind of scouting exercise, Jim? You've seen Mike Weir has 11 of his 12 members up in Royal Montreal at the moment for both the course scouting and obviously the press obligations they have. When are you going to be able to get your guys on site to kind of see the golf course and see what awaits?
Yeah, it's my understanding by the rules that golf course opens Sunday at noon for us to practice, and we'll be there.
Jim, we sometimes behind this desk talk about players who have scar tissue to overcome difficult losses. Do captains have scar tissue? Does 2018 linger at all from your experience in Paris?
Oh, I'd lie if I said it didn't linger, but it doesn't affect what I do in 2024, if that makes sense. I learned some lessons. I think I'm going to apply them to this team and the way I go about my business. But, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of difficult losses. In this sport, you lose a lot more than you win. So I can go back to a number of different major championships and events that still to this day bother me. You get over them, you move on. So 18 was 18, and I'm just excited about this group of 12 that I've got. I'm excited about Royal Montreal and the opportunity we have in front of us, because that's exactly what it is. It's an opportunity, and I want my guys to look at it that way.
We've seen in the past Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns have played together. Jim, obviously very close friends. They've had a half and two losses in the last President's Cup together. How difficult is it in your position as captain to separate very obvious personal chemistry where guys get along very well and are very simpatico with each other versus whether or not you actually think they match up on the golf course?
Yeah, it definitely is a stretch, and I think a lot of it depends on the two players. I know Scotty and Sam love each other, best of friends, but they'd do whatever was best for the team. And so it's not always necessarily about trying to get the best pair on the golf course. It's trying to get the best four or five pairs on the golf course. And I think when you look at their record, they've played really well in those matches. They kind of ran into some buzzsaws and ran into some groups that had played some unbelievable golf. But we'll see. I think there's some form, there's a format that maybe those two worked well together, and there's probably a format that maybe I would want to split them up. We'll see. Time will tell. We're kind of going through the pairings, the final pairings process right now, and to me, that's kind of the most exciting part of it, really trying to get these guys in good situations where they're comfortable with their pairs, they know what to expect, put them in situations where they can thrive and go out there and show off and play the best golf they can.
Jim, maybe unbeknownst to some of our viewers, you won back-to-back Canadian Opens in 06 and 07. I want to say Hamilton and Angus Glenn. Are there some Canadian connections that you'll be able to exploit as captain because of those two victories back in the day?
The Canadian fans have always treated me great. I think those back-to-back Opens really stuck with them. I realize they're going to be rooting for their hometown or their home country hero and Mike Weir. The pride of Canadian golf, and folks in Montreal are wonderful sports fans. I mean, they love the Habs. I will say this. There's one thing that Montreal's a wonderful city, but the one thing I love about Montreal is everything there is red, white, and blue. It really makes me feel at home. I'm comfortable. The Canadians they say they're blue, white, and red. You can say it how you want. I see red, white, and blue. It's been a lot of fun. I know they'll be cheering for the other team, but the Canadian fans are wonderful golf fans, wonderful sports fans, and really looking forward to playing in front of them.
Jim, the last time the United States actually lost the President's Cup, you only had two victories on the PGA Tour. You've had a lot more since then. Do you feel a little added pressure to keep that streak going because it has been such a dominant narrative for so long?
I heard your narrative earlier while I was kind of waiting to come on about how the pressure's on us and how it is to keep it going. I mean, the idea is really staying focused on the task at hand and looking at process over result, getting these guys prepared and ready. And then I think it really boils down to, no great football team out there, whether it's in college, whether it's Alabama or Georgia or Michigan last year, no one's talking about worrying about people applying pressure on them. The whole idea is to go out there and apply the pressure. And so that's what our team will do. We'll come out hungry. The guys have already talked about being prepared and ready to go, and it's my job to put them in good situations. But we'll be trying to apply the pressure on the internationals just like they're going to do and try to do to us.
Oh, another narrative has been building toward the future. How much did you look at a Nick Dunlap, an Akshay Bhatia, maybe give them a Scottie Scheffler type of moment like he had at Whistling Straits?
Yeah, both wonderful players. I had an opportunity to play with Nick in the U.S. Open at Brookline. He was the U.S. Junior champ. I was the Senior Open champ. Great kid, unbelievable story. Loved watching him at the American Express and seeing him kind of blossom throughout this year. Definitely, you know, even up there a little higher on the points, definitely someone that we took a good look at and dove into some statistics with him. Akshay, believe it or not, I met when he was a young kid at the Tour Championship. And it actually might have even been the year I won the Tour Championship. He grew up with one of my college teammates with his kids. And so Akshay has been on the radar all year, playing some great golf. Reached out to him last night. Again, we talked a little bit. He sent me a text and wished us well as a team. He's a great kid. And both those guys are going to be stalwarts for the U.S. here in the future. They just need to keep grinding, keep improving. And again, one of those, you look at that, I said there's 16, 18 guys I wish I could include on the team. Those two names would definitely be on there.
Jim, we appreciate your time and candor. We'll see you at Royal Montreal in a few weeks. Thank you. A five-time winner on the PGA Tour. Captain's Pick, Sam Burns, joins us now. It's great to see you, Sam. I saw you in Atlanta. You finished the season very, very strong, but you didn't automatically qualify, even though you were almost a shoe-in. What were the butterflies like as you awaited that phone call from Captain Furyk?
Yeah, that phone call is always one you look forward to getting, and hopefully it's the call that you're on the team, and thankfully this time it was, and I'm really excited. We've got a great team. We've got a great captain in Jim that's going to lead us well, and I'm looking forward to getting up there in a few weeks.
Sam, you were an automatic qualifier last time, a captain's pick this time. Does it feel any different, or do you feel maybe a little extra burden to justify Jim Furyk's vote of confidence in you?
Yeah, I think it does feel a little bit different in the sense that you don't know for sure if you're on the team or not. But I think with this group of guys and, you know, being around them so much and, you know, getting to play with them and just kind of hang out with them, you have a good understanding of kind of where you stand. And, you know, after the last few weeks, I felt pretty good about, you know, my spot on the team. But, yeah, it's much easier when you're in that top six for sure.
Sam, it was so fun following you during the FedEx Cup playoffs. But one thing I really noticed looking at the likes of you and Xander and Scotty was the level of fatigue in a long PGA Tour season is no joke. Is there enough rest time for you guys to be sharp and ready to roll at Royal Montreal?
Yeah, I think for sure. You know, you know what to expect to start the year, and you know the last few weeks of the year are going to be hot and they're going to be, you know, stressful weeks at times. And so it's funny, I was talking to Scotty this morning and he was asking if he's like, does everything on your body hurt? And I'm like, yeah, our group at home was going to play pickleball last night. And I usually like to attend that. And mentally, I wanted to be there, but last night wasn't the night for pickleball. So, yeah, I'm excited to be home and get some rest and look forward to preparing for Montreal.
I'd imagine any time you see Scotty's number pop up, you're wondering if he's looking for another babysitter, Sam. But maybe that'll be your part-time job in Royal Montreal as well.
Yeah.
Last time at the Ryder Cup, a lot of guys didn't have any competitive play between the end of the playoffs and getting to Rome. Is that a concern for you at all this time around, or do you have any plans to compete between now and the President's Cup?
Yeah, I think for me, I'll try and have some good games at home. We have some good players here, and so you know, I take those games at home just as serious as I do when I'm out playing. So I think I'm trying to get into many competitive games as I can at home, and pairing that with rest, I think, is going to be a good combination for me.
You and your good buddy Scotty have been paired together as teammates in the Ryder Cup and President's Cup. Hasn't always worked out. Is there a danger in being too comfortable, you know, liking somebody so well that maybe it doesn't lead to enough points, or would you like to play with the world number one and FedEx Cup champ again?
Yeah, I think we're going to rely on, you know, Jim and the assistants and the stats guys to kind of pair us up as they best see fit. I think, you know, I've always enjoyed my time playing with Scotty. You know, as everyone knows, we're great friends, and I feel like we have played well together. I don't think our record really shows that. But at the end of the day, you have to go out there and get points on the board for your team. And so, you know, with whatever those guys think and the best combinations of pairings that we can come up with, I think that's the game plan we're going to stick to.
Sam, you've played both Ryder Cup and President's Cup. I'm curious to what degree they're different, because they're same flag, obviously, but it always seems as though the U.S. team faces a little bit more pressure, a little bit more scrutiny in a Ryder Cup. But is it fair to say you guys face a lot of pressure going to Montreal, given the winning streak that you're defending for America up there?
Well, yeah, I think anytime you're going to, you know, to play an away game, as you could say, I think it's always tougher. The fans are going to be rooting hard for the internationals. The fans are rooting hard for the Europeans. And so I think it's, you know, the mindset of embracing that and looking forward to the challenge of that. I think, you know, now having played a President's Cup at home and a Ryder Cup away, I kind of have a better understanding of what that environment's going to feel like. And I think this team is really looking forward to that challenge. And I know that Jim and the other captains are going to have us best prepared.
Sam, I was struck by something you said a few moments ago about kind of leaving the pairings up to Captain Furyk and the assistants. We're also in an era where the voice of the player seems to be louder and stronger than it ever has been. As a general philosophy, do you think that all of those decisions should be up to the captain and the assistants, or do you think the players should have some say as to who they're comfortable with and who they're not?
Yeah, I think it's really important for the players to have their say and kind of express, you know, how they feel about certain pairings or, you know, the state of their game. Or I think it's a combination of both. I think it's, you know, getting in a room together and talking with those captains who have tons of experience in this format and tons of experience in these team events, and also pair that with the stats guys who have run a lot of different simulations. And I think it's a combination of getting voices together and just talking through it and getting to the point where everyone feels really comfortable and confident going out there and playing.
One of the other captains picks alongside you, Sam, is Keegan Bradley. He's not just a teammate, he's also potentially your Ryder Cup captain. A year from now, how much do you think guys are going to look upon the President's Cup as something of an audition for Keegan, not just in terms of delivering under pressure, but how they are as a team room presence?
Yeah, I think ultimately our goal as a team is to go up there and win the President's Cup. I think Keegan, you know, we had breakfast last week in Atlanta and we were talking, and you know, Keegan's playing some of the best golf of his career, arguably, you know, as good, if not better than most guys on the team right now. And I think, you know, we were joking with Keegan last week as he was talking about the Ryder Cup and stuff. And we were like, well, Keegan, there's a good chance you might be playing on the Ryder Cup. But I think, you know, our main goal going up there is to prepare the best we can and go out and try to win the President's Cup. And I think, you know, a lot of that other stuff with the Ryder Cup and stuff in the future is, it's so much out of our control that, you know, we just want to go up there and focus on the task at hand in front of us.
Russell Henley joins us now. Russell, congratulations on the pick. You're a four-time PGA Tour winner, 35 years old. You're making your first national team as a professional. What did it feel like to finally get that call?
Feels amazing. It's hard to explain. I feel like I've watched a lot of these shows before. These guys get picked, and never been on one of the teams, and just always tried to keep my head down and keep working on everything, from the mental part of the game, the physical, and just consistently put in work. And to finally, you know, get the nod from Captain Jim, I think is what I'll call him. I'm not sure yet. Was just amazing. And I look up to him so much. I've called him over the years, asked him questions about just how he manages his game. And I've always admired the way he handles himself on the golf course. And so to play for him now is just a dream come true.
Well, you're 35 years old, Russell. This is a new chapter in your career. But how much did it hurt to come so close in the past and maybe not get the call that you wanted? Did you follow the competitions, the President's Cup, Ryder Cup, or did you kind of turn it off and keep your head down?
Yeah, good question. Got a call last year from Zach. I knew I hadn't played well enough in the majors and figured I was close, but not quite there. And I definitely watch, definitely keep track of it. Just think it's such an exciting event every year, right? Whether it's President's Cup or Ryder Cup. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to be able to play in one. I mean, I was just talking about all the consistent work I put in. I mean, all these guys work so hard, and you just work and hope that you're going to get that phone call. And it's really still surreal. It hasn't really sunk in, and I'm just really excited.
There's always a conversation, Russell, about the resumes of guys who fall on the wrong side of those phone calls, who don't make the team, like JT and Billy Horschel. You were seventh in the US Open at Pinehurst, fifth in the Open at Troon, fourth in the Tour of Championships. You're proving that you hang with the best in the world when you go out there, and you're top 15 in the world rankings. Do you feel as though you get the attention or respect that your record deserves?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what it's like to get any more attention. So I only know what I'm used to. I definitely think that there are personalities out there who are maybe more attractive to the average fan. But I really have just been humbled by this game a little bit over the last 11 years. Seeing a year after year the talent that comes out to play. Guys are just stronger. I feel like they're more confident. They have more of a plan. And, you know, I just feel like my kind of thing is just to keep my head down and keep trying to work hard on what I can control. And so I'm very competitive, and maybe just not as flashy as some guys and as enjoyable to watch. But I'm certainly very thankful for where I am.
Well, Russell, one thing you did say was that you weren't sure exactly what you'd bring athletically. You're not a Tony Finau off the tee, but that you will just bring the fight. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, when I play with some of these guys, I played with Tony a couple weeks ago, and I remember actually playing with him in like 2014 or 15, one of his first years out, and he hit his 3-iron about as far as my driver, it seemed like. So there's just some guys out there who are athletically just very gifted and powerful players. And I've tried to kind of hone how I play the game and make what I do better and better. And I feel like that's why I'm here. But, you know, I think, as been mentioned about me, I'm just a grinder, and I try to fight for every shot and try to compete as hard as I can, no matter the situation. And so I'm excited to do that for the team.
Well, I know you'll bring that fight and that hot putter to Royal Montreal. Congratulations on making the team your first team. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm excited.